sleeping through the evening, singing dreams inside my head. I'm heading out, I've got some ends who say they care and they just might. I run away with you if things don't go as planned. Planning big could be a gamble, I've already rolled the dice.
May. So, remember when I said that Hydra couldn't sink any lower? Tasha asks conversationally. They're in the kitchen again, sitting around the table this time, quietly eating. It's rare, Steve has learned in the past week, for them to actually have meals together, because of their irregular schedules. Natalia catnaps and eats more often throughout the day, while Tasha and Bucky both stay awake for long stretches, and then crash for hours on end, usually together. Steve generally tries to be in bed between midnight and 4 a.m., and anything else is optional. Really, the only time they all spend together reliably is when Tasha calls for movie nights. Independent of time of day, where everyone just piles up on the couch for a few hours. The first time, Steve stood by awkwardly, not sure he was even welcome. But then Natalia rolled her eyes and offered a wry, "Don't fight it. They win anyway." "It's cuddle therapy," Bucky offered, and held out a hand. His flesh won. "Don't knock it, punk." Movie nights and random running into each other in the kitchen. Where they are right now, at noon, having breakfast Natalia made and deigned to share.
"You never said that,"
Bucky announces around a bite of pancake.
Tasha beams at him, manically. Steve wonders when she last slept.
"Oh, wonderful! Then I'm not wrong! Because they can, and they have." She points at the external drive full of pilfered data from the Lemurian Star, a sort of macabre centerpiece on the breakfast table.
"You finally cracked it?" Steve asks.
"Yep."
"What's on it?"
"In 1940s terms, a scanner. Or a program that might one day become a scanner."
He tries to decode that for a moment, then shakes his head. Repeats his question.
She rolls her eyes, but flicks her fingers in a motion he has learned is a request to Jarvis to project something for her. Obediently, blue light shimmers to life above the table.
"This is a program," Tasha announces, unnecessarily, pointing at the running lines of code. "It's designed to search social networks, databases, anything it can get its hands on for a specific type of person."
She takes a sip from her mug, pushes it aside, and leans forward.
"Now, that's not much different than what a lot of sites and companies already use to collect data on their customers and users. But this is more sophisticated, as in a lot. It also doesn't bother with legality as much. It hones in on anything and everything, and its algorithms are... well, if I didn't know I hadn't written it, I'd say it could be mine. This program, once it's finished, will be able to read political views out of a Facebook status update and psychoanalyze you from your shopping list. If this quality holds up and it goes where I think it's going, that thing is going to be able to predict people."
Bucky frowns.
"That doesn't sound good."
"It sounds awful. Imagine living in a world where a computer program can predict when and if you're going to commit a crime and alert someone beforehand."
She pauses for dramatic effect, and Steve fights not to grit his teeth.
"It's Minority Report with less Tom Cruise and more dead people."
He doesn't get the reference, but it doesn't matter, because she keeps prattling on.
"And now imagine Hydra having that tech."
A long beat of silence. Steve is suddenly not hungry anymore.
Hydra is the enemy. He has accepted that. But it hasn't really... computed. Not yet. Mostly, he clings to Bucky being not the enemy. Everything else happens by process of elimination.
Natalia picks up the drive, studies it, They could predict where their enemies would come from and kill them before they became a threat. Tasha shakes her head.
They could predict who will one day become their enemy and kill them before they ever graduate high school.
The Black Widow curses in Russian. Bucky breathes out a quiet, "Fuck."
Not now, dear. It's not there yet. Right now, this thing glitches like a mother every time you try to feed it more than a terabyte of data. It'd need to do 1,000 times that, at least, to be at all useful. But the idea behind it is fucking terrifying. If you connect this to a capable targeting system, we're talking Skynet. Better than Skynet, because Skynet doesn't differentiate. This thing would. It could. It would be...
She trails off, and Steve realizes, for the first time, that she's scared. Her mania all morning, the way she speaks too fast now, the way she clenches her hands around her mug. Natasha Stark is afraid.
But we have it now, right? They have to start over?
She barks a short laugh. Natalia is the one to explain. We have one copy. They're bound to have hundreds more. She shakes her head. We knew there had to be some kind of endgame. This could be it.
Or at least a stepping stone to get there. Imagine a world where dissent ends with a nuke dropped on your front porch.
Natasha mimes something exploding with her hands, lips drawn in a grim line.
So what do we do?
Bucky asks. And Steve gets it now, after a week with them. Gets why Bucky insists that Stark is not the hand that wields him. Because if he is a weapon, if Natalia is a weapon, then Stark is their targeting system. She aims them. They fire themselves. It's a distinction he's not sure they've made themselves yet, but he knows it's true, sees it in their interactions. Stark offers. She doesn't order. She shrugs, pretends nonchalance. Pretends she isn't terrified and angry and willing to wage a war.
What we were always going to do. We take down Hydra. We burn it to the ground and keep chopping until no heads grow back. And then we salt the damn earth to make sure this program is never, ever finished. Because if it is, we won't have to worry about World War III.
They won't have to worry about a war, because there wouldn't be one if Hydra finished that project. Steve imagines Hitler with a program like that at his disposal. No need for battle. No need to round people up in concentration camps and kill them slowly. You could just kill them in their backyards instead and be done with it.
You have a plan?
He asks, before the others can. His voice comes out rough, choked. The idea alone. She beams at him, bright like lightning and the machine in her chest.
You're going to hate it.
Let me be the judge of that.
I hate it.
Tasha waves both hands at Steve's, crows.
Told you so.
For a woman of almost 40, she is surprisingly like a teenage boy sometimes, especially when it comes to basic things like safety. James hates it. Beside him, little sister takes a step closer to the bold letters hanging in the middle of the lab, glowing blue, like a curse. That's what they are, in a way. A magic spell to topple the world into chaos. A chant to summon the devil, the snake from below. He clenches his hands into fists, lets the slow grinding of gears reassure him as he tracks Natalia's hands over the circle of the O, the curve of the U. Tasha shoves aside the prototype of Steve's new shield and hops up onto a table, watching them with hooded eyes. Out of the shadows, into the light. Hail Hydra. An activation sequence, a call to arms, a code, hidden deep in everything they have taken from the Hydra. Tasha has been worrying at that bit of code for months, niggling at it like a loose tooth, half aware of what it was, but never with enough time to solve the riddle. It was never as important as more names, more places, more targets. They know now. Natalia hums, looks up from the words. It's doable. It's suicide, Steve argues, as if that should sway anyone here. James would die to see Hydra burn, and he knows Natalia would not be far behind him. And Tasha? He still can't claim to understand her motivation. She claims weapons in the wrong hands and a favor to him, but she's gone beyond that months ago. Maybe it's simply that his vendetta has become hers. Or maybe she hates as much as he does by now. Maybe she is simply a better person than she admits. Or maybe she needs fire and explosions. Needs the violence and the bombs as much as anyone in this room. She built weapons. For most of her life, she built weapons. And he thinks it's in her blood to see destruction, as much as it is in his. Not if we prepare carefully, Natalia argues, and from the narrowed look in her eyes, she's already running through options, plans. Not if we gather allies. Tasha snorts. Yeah? How many of those you got? The women shoot each other inscrutable looks before the younger of them shrugs. Clint Barton is clean. Phil Coulson. Melinda May. Nick Fury. I would vouch for any of them. Maria Hill is a maybe. You have Potts. Rhodes. You mentioned giving him a suit. Who else? Before anyone can answer, Tasha grimaces and hisses. Nick fucking Fury? Ugh! She doesn't say no, though. Only adds, I'm gonna blow his diehard ass up, just so you know. James pats her hand consolingly, and mentally plots ways to let her explode the director, at least a little, for making her afraid. Steve, not understanding the byplay, tries to insert a warning. It's still madness, but they don't listen. In his head, James is already compiling a list of contacts that might still exist. Not people he trusts, those are all in this room. But people who know things, have things. Information, weapons, secrets. It's not a lot, and 15 years out of date, but it's something. Tasha frowns. There's a guy down in South America. I've helped him a few times over the last few years. When he had to disappear from a radar or two after he got a bit angry, he might come in handy. Really, really handy. The X-Men owe me a favor or two as well. She turns to face James, who shrugs. No, Steve argues. You can't seriously be considering this. It's insane. Stabbing a finger at the code, Tasha explains. Sooner or later, they will use this, and they'll activate every single agent they have. The message is pretty clear on that. Now, judging by the program's state, that might not be for a couple of years, but it will happen. Wouldn't it be better to pull the trigger now, here, under controlled circumstances, before they have all their ducks in a row? What you're suggesting isn't controlled. You want to kick over an anthill and see what comes crawling out. And then kill it. Don't forget killing it. We can't win this. The only way we can't win is if we play by their rules. Play their game. Survival rule number one. Confuse the fuck out of everyone, then shoot them while they're scrambling. How very stark of you, Steve snaps. And James knows without asking that his old friend is referring to Afghanistan, and he won't have it. Enough, both of you. We plan. We control what we can, and then Tasha cuts him off, her smile wide and deadly. And then we put the word out there and we kill anything that moves. We'd be completely blind. There's no preparing for that. A shrug. We'll survive, James announces, stealing Tasha's line. Because they do. They always do. You know, Natalia cuts in, suddenly, derailing the argument yet again. 3 out of 4 people in this room were on Director Fury's shortlist for his Avengers initiative. I always wondered why he called it that. Tasha laughs. Head thrown back, hands on her belly, she laughs. And James looks at her and he's terrified and awed and amazed. By her. By being here, now, with these people. His bony elbows and little sister and Tasha. Always Tasha. By being himself. 2 kinds of people have a purpose. Heroes and weapons. Natalia thinks they make their own purpose. Make themselves whatever they want to be. But he likes Tasha's words. Heroes and weapons. Is that what we do now? Avenge stuff? Tasha wants to know, her eyes still bright with laughter. Her ponytail is coming undone around her face, and her arc reactor glows like a beacon. Punishment and reward, like his arm, like Steve's second life, like Natalia's ledger dripping red. This is what they get for surviving. It's what we've been doing, he agrees. Beside him, Steve calls the mole insane. He doesn't leave, though. Heroes and weapons. Neither James Winter nor Bucky Barnes knows which one he is. What any of them are, here, in this room, this life. He doesn't think it really matters. The end. Why you gotta keep a fan on high when it's cold outside? Just wanna let you know that I'm still a fan. Get it? Everybody wants charm and a smile.